The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 7, 1976, in Washington, D.C.
You're the funniest, Prabhupada. You, Professor?
Well, I'm retired.
Retired, Professor? From what school?
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland? What was your subject?
Well, modern poetry.
Oh, very nice.
And theater.
Very nice. This is you're a physicist?
That's correct.
And your name is?
Carl Wernz.
Carl Wernz, Brown. He's from
Capital University.
Physicist.
If you are uncomfortable, you can sit on this court.
No, that's okay.
You are welcome to sit down.
This is Eugene Thoreau, Prabhupada. He's an attorney in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
He's helped us very much opening up Sam Kirtan places. Very good.
And Shiv Prabhupada, this is a professor from Catholic University, a physicist.
So how do you like our movement? Hare Krishna movement.
So he said, how do you like our movement?
Well, for myself, I know nothing about it. That's why I'm here.
Well, I like it. I've seen some very good people go into it. And I like it.
I've known two people who went into it. And I was at a meeting when you were on King Street. And I've always liked it.
I have found it strangely appealing. I met it by accident at an airport, and one of the devotees gave me a flower, and I was struck by it. So,
my professor from Berkeley, California.
California.
Berkeley.
And
then.
Berkeley, my
Yeah. And I'm a Regents Professor at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, now what is Mumbai? You sometimes go to our temple?
Yes, I go to the temple in Berkeley. I was at Berkeley about a week ago. I'm in London, a fellow of the Royal Institute of Chemistry. I was born in Haridwar.
Haridwar?
Yes.
Bhagavan ka desh ka hi hai.
Yes.
Hari, Hari means the Supreme Personality of God. And Dwar means the doorway to the Supreme Personality of God. There is a place in India, Haridwar. People go there for pilgrimage. Very famous place.
I grew up with yogis and sannyasis in Rishikesh. My father is very close. I must tell.
Oh, your father is also
very close. And I must tell an incident which, although I was growing up with meditation, and I find the bhakti yoga, the chanting, really fulfilling and actually making the difference. Actually making the difference. In one case, it is abstract philosophy, which is the Raj Yoga, other yoga's philosophy, and this actually makes the person transform. Another incident occurred yesterday when I was meditating and I wanted to ask about five different shlokas or deepa. One was which you are out of, which surprisingly you discussed four. It's most astounding to me.
Which one?
Siddhayadhani dharmasya glanir bhavati kharapa vipthanam dharmasya talatma siddhanam.
That is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atah pugmi dijasrestha varnasama vibhadasa anushtikasya dharmasya samsiddhi haritodha. Everyone is engaged in his occupation and duties. Everyone is engaged. Generally, according to Vedic civilization, the society is divided into 8 divisions. Varnasam dharma, it is called. 4 varnas and 4 ashrams. Materially, 4 varnas: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And spiritually, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa. These 8 divisions. So, according to these 8 divisions, everyone has an occupation and duty. So, what is the duty and how the duty is perfected? That is haritosana, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. That people do not know. Especially at the present moment, they do not know who is Hari and they do not know how to please him. That is the defect of the modern civilization, that they do not get to know who is God and how to satisfy him. That is the defect. The life is meant for human life, for satisfying God. That is going on under religious system. And the Vedic civilization is called Varnasam Dharma. Dharma is not kind of faith. Religion is not a kind of faith, but it is a duty. Varnasam dharma. So that duty we are forgetting. Therefore, we are coming to the level of animals. Because the cats and dogs, they have no duty. Animal. But human being has an obligation, a duty, to understand God and to satisfy him. That is human life. Without this knowledge, without this performance of duty, human life is on the level of animal. There are many other verses in this connection. Where other Priyana, Priyantiya, Shurdeva, Pushkatishna. That is the defect of modern civilization, that they do not get to know what is God and what is our duty. That is that. So we are trying to enlighten.
Gentlemen, so the embassy should have apologized. Oh. The ambassador could have gone personally but sent his representative.
I guess. So by evolutionary process, we come to this human form of life. It is a chance to understand the value of life, to understand God and our relationship with God. And if you are missing this opportunity, that's a great loss. When he again becomes in another form of life, that is sure, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, tatha deham karapta, see, we have to change this body, and if we are not prepared, what kind of body we are going to get next life, then we remain like animal. The animal does not know. But human life, we are missing this important point, that I am going to change this body. And what kind of body I am going to get, if I do not know, then what is the difference between me and the animal?
Perhaps you can comment on the fact that in the movement of the Krishna and Buddha, not only the sannyasis, but also the common working man, whose karma is karmanyavadikasa, they also can.
But this is karma. Karma means according to that division. That Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Karma means activity. There must be some prescribed activity. It's like you are a professor, you are prescribed activity. He is the minister of ambassadors. He has got prescribed activity. So everyone has got prescribed activities in whatever position he is. But what is the standard of success, that I have done my duties, prescribed duties properly? What is the standard? The standard is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Samsiddhi Haritosa. whether you have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by your duty, then it is success. Yeah, that is the intelligent question. If you do not know who is Supreme Personality of Godhead and how He is satisfied, then you are lacking knowledge. That is being instructed in the Bhagavad Gita. God Himself is instructing how you can satisfy it. Manmana bhavamad bhakta madhyaji mahang namaskuru. It is not very difficult. Anyone can do it. Just always think of me, God says, Krishna says. Always think of me. So just we think of our friend, of our master, of our beloved. Similarly, we can think of God also. That's not difficult. And if you have no knowledge about God, how we can think of Him? That is difficult. So, how God is satisfied, that is there. But if we do not do it, that is our business. Manmana bhava madhakta madhya vimaga namaste. Fourth thing, God says that you always think of me, you become my devotee, you just offer me obeisances. Just worship me. Four things. Anyone can do it. It is not difficult.
So very kind, you have given us the chance that the devotees are switched.
Yes, it is for this purpose. People may come, see God, then he can think of God. There is no difference. If you see something, you think of it. That is manmala bhava. And if you regularly do it, then you become devotee. Manmala bhava madhvaka madhyaji. And when you come to the temple, you worship him. Patram pusvam phalam toyam. Worshipping means give and take. Take blessings and offer little fruit or little flower. Patram pusvam phalam toyam. And if you cannot do anything, just offer your obeisance. Very simple. If the child can perform it. But they will not do it. Navana duskijanam mura prabhantante naradama. Why does not you do it? That is explained. Because unless one is sinful, duskijanam, he has got merit, but he is utilizing his merit for sinful activity. Kriti. Kriti means meritorious. But duskriti. He has got merit, intelligence. But he is utilizing merit and intelligence for sinful activity. Therefore, duskriti. Navana duskriti na mura. Mura means rascal. He knows everything except God. Narada, the lowest of the members. The human life is meant for this purpose, to understand God, but he does not. Therefore, it's a Naradhama, lowest of them. But he is very educated, Maya Aparita Vyana. He is so-called educated. Actually, he is not educated, because he does not know what is God. Maya Aparita Vyana. Asuri Bhava Vasila. The basic principle is atheistic attitude. So, this class of man will never offer obeisances or surrender to God. Navanga Vishkitina Mura Prabhupada Naradhava. Maya Aparita Vyana. Asuri Bhava Vasila. So, asuric life is very dangerous and it is punishable. This is the position. So, you should not become asuric with all material opulences. Just like in the Ramayana, Ravana was called Asur. He was materially very advanced. He made his capital made of gold. He was so advanced material. But he did not care for Rama. Therefore, he is called Asura, Rakshasa. He was son of a Brahmana. But he did not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was learned, scholar, materially very intelligent. There was aeroplane, everything. But he did not care for Rama or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he is described as Asura. The Asuras are divided into four classes. Duskitina, Mura, Naradhama, and Maya Aparitam. So they are Muras, that is already explained. If you cannot convince them, then avoid them. What can be? Instead of wasting time, you better avoid that. Upeksha. Useless. Because godless person means duskritana mura naravava. So it is the duty of the preacher to enlighten them also, to take some risk. But if one is unable to take this, he may avoid.
When we go to universities, so often we run into very educated people, so-called educated people. Of course, they see us, they think that we're simply sentimentalists, that actually we're not, don't really have knowledge of the universe. How to explain to these people, it's not necessary that they are sinful so much as they just miseducated.
No, educated means they have knowledge, but real knowledge is taken. He does not know God. Just like a man is rich, but he has no food. It is like that. Maya Aparita Vyana. Therefore, his knowledge is misused. Duskriti. perfection of knowledge means to understand God. That is perfection of knowledge. Otherwise, it is imperfect knowledge. Therefore, it is called Vedanta. Veda means knowledge.
This is a Bill Starr. He wrote this book, The Fourth Kingdom.
Fourth Kingdom. What is the idea?
The idea is that the goal of life should be to
push the Bible of life. Put people on other planets
so that the race can survive.
Human race? That all of life can survive.
So that all life can survive.
That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Janti deva prata devan pitri janti pitri prataha Bhutija Janti Bhutani Madjarinopi Janti Ma. If you want to transfer yourself to other planetary system, you can go. You can go to the higher planetary system, which is decided by the demigods, Deva, Janti Deva, Bhutani Deva. And you can go to other planets, Pitri Loka, or you can remain here as you like, and you can go to the planet where God is there. Madjajino bhi jaanti ma. So this human life, you can make your selection. After all, you have to change your body. That is compulsory. Nobody can remain here with this body. Janmamistu jarabhyadi. And we have to change our body. So we can make our selection where we shall go next. Either in the higher planetary system or the Pitri Loka, or we shall remain here, or we can go even back to home, back to Earth. So we must prepare ourselves for that purpose. Then, next life you can go wherever you like.
But anywhere within this material world, there are four principles. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. There is birth, there is death, there is old age, and disease. But if you go to the spiritual kingdom, there is no more such thing. No birth, no death, no disease, no illness. Now we can make our selection. And if we do not make our selection, if we live like cats and dogs without any responsibility, then again we become in the category of cats and dogs. Mura, janmani, janmani, life after life, they remain like animal without any knowledge.
Bill's idea is that we should go by spaceship, right?
Well, in the natural world and in the cosmos, nothing is stable. Life only survives all the things that can cause it to perish by mobility, by moving. A coconut tree on one island
drops its seed in the ocean to float for thousands of miles, wash up on another shore, so that if that island is destroyed, it will have life on another island. The seed blossom of a plant is the way the plant survives. It sends its seeds off to other meadows to assure its survival. The premise here is that humanity arrived in nature very recently. We're a part of nature, but we arrived very recently to give life on Earth the same mobility, the same chance to survive among the hundreds of other planets in the universe, as a dandelion does in seeding other meadows, as a coconut palm does in surviving on other islands. The coconut palm does not know that there are other islands, but yet it launches its seeds to the unknown currents of the ocean. I believe it's our duty to launch our seeds, our space arts, launch those seeds to the unknown gravitational currents of the stars and find the hundreds of other planets that are out there, so that there cannot be enough cosmic disasters to cause life to perish. And it was meeting two or three of your people at the airport, and I asked them about at the Washington National Airport. I think it was Mina and Mary Davis and Savabuma. And I said, what about your philosophy? Well, so we talk about living on other planets. Boy, right away we got very interested. And I believe people have had visions on life to other planets, because I believe that's our destiny and that is our reason for existence in nature. I've been interested in the Krishna movement to, you know, you say why I'm a materialist type, why am I here? You have an interesting philosophy that, see, not all of us can be building space arcs, not all of us can leave the Earth, and we should not be using up all our material resources, destroying all other life unnecessarily. And I think we have to adopt a lifestyle that is a little simpler, that we will enjoy life on this Earth where most of us have to stay, with a lesser material requirements. Secondly, I believe we're going to have a different type of society on a space arc. We're going to have maybe 100 years to 200 years going to another star. The traditional societies that we're familiar with may not be able to survive the social pressures. Maybe this type of environment, this communal, would you say? I think it's going to have to be some type of communal environment to survive this kind of a trip. So this is my interest in the Krishna movement. I think they seem to have the visions of going to other planets, which I think is our only reason for existence.
Yeah, that is, I was discussing Jantadeva Prabhupada Imam. You can go to the higher planetary system where the devas, the demigods live. Their duration of life is very, very big. Our 6 months is equal to one day. Such 10,000 of years they live. But they die. It is not permanent. But the duration of life is very big, the standard of life is very high. These are the advantages. But there is death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age and disease. But if you transfer yourself in the spiritual kingdom, then saptadeham punarjanmanai, then you don't get any more material birth. That is, because we are eternal, we living entities, who do not die. Na hanate hannavane sarire. After giving up this body, we do not die, actually. We accept another body.
I believe the spirit of life lives on totally in this marvelous planet Earth. But I feel the spirit has to be carried and nurtured and improved in the body. So I feel we have to carry the bodies, the material bodies, to the other planets to allow the spiritualism to live there also.
That is in the material world. If you want to stay in the material world, then you change the material body, just suitable for a particular place, atmosphere. But we have got our spiritual body. The spiritual body, without any material covering, you can transfer to the spiritual world.
You believe you can transmit that to other planets?
Yes. We have to transfer, because we are giving up this body. So, we must accept another body. So either in this planet, or another planet, or as human being, or less than human being, there are 8,400,000 types of body. We have to say, accept one of them, according to your karma. Karma nādaiva netrena jantar deha upapatti. How the next body is developed, that is depending on our work. If we work like demigod, then we go and get the body of demigod. And if we work like dog, then we get the body of a dog. Nature's karanam guna sannasya sadasad juni janus. According to activity and association of the modes of material nature, we get up and down different varieties of body. Some of them are low grade, some of them are high grade. Let that depend on our association with the modes of nature. Nature's work is going on. It's like if we contaminate some particular germs of disease, that disease will develop and we have to suffer. Similarly, by our contamination or association with the guna qualities of nature, there are three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So we have to know how to associate. So if we associate with the goodness, then we are elevated, the heart planetary system, deva. And if we associate with passion, then in the middle, just like human being. And if we associate with ignorance, then go down like animals, trees, plants.
How is the spirit held in the system until it finds a new body, sir?
Body that I have explained.
Yes.
That you are associating with some modes of material nature. So according to that association, you get next body. Just like I have already explained.
Is that immediately after one dies you transfer to another body, or
yes,
later?
Yes, body is changing every moment.
Every moment.
Every moment. That is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita lesson. Dehinasmin yatha dehi kumara juvanam jara tatha dehantara prati dhirastatva namayati. Every body, just like a child is changing his body to boyhood, boy is changing his body to youthhood, Kumara Jurvana Jara. The young man is becoming old man. Similarly, when the body is no more endurable, then you get another body. Nahannati Hannavani Sarire. This body being destroyed, we are not destroyed. We living entity, we are Nitya Sasataya. We are eternal. The proof is given that the child is growing, getting the boy's body. That means the living entity is there. He has changed body. When a child is grown to become a boy, the father and mother do not think that my child is no more existing. He knows my child is existing, but in a different body. It is common sense.
Nature tolerates us. We are part of the tree of life. This is the tree of the animal kingdom. And since there's no way that the animal or plant kingdom can escape this planet in the body form, that we are here to support this new tree, the tree of technology, the tree of the fourth kingdom, which started out as the animals did very simply and became more complex until we finally developed a means to launch the seeds of our civilization from this planet to others. We are a special creature who's been given special brain power, special power, which we've abused many times, by the way, a special power in order to create space arcs to take not just humanity, but really an arc, the totality of life to another planet, to hopefully hundreds of planets. Because sooner or later, this planet will be destroyed by the sun.
Other planets also will be destroyed.
Pardon?
Other planets also will be destroyed.
Other planets? There couldn't be enough cosmic disasters to destroy 100 planets at once. Our star may... Our star will eventually turn into a red giant, will incinerate this Earth. Other stars are the astrologists found, or astronomers, excuse me.
You find out that, but prasta smatu bhava anya bhaktya bhaktya sanatma.
The many stars out in this galaxy are far less stable than our star. Our star has been stable now for 5 billion years. Many stars are not stable that long. And we're kind of living on borrowed time.
Yes.
Prasta smatu bhava anya. Avyakta avyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashgatsu na vinashyati. Translation: yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
Well, I could interpret that yet another way, not having any background, you'll have to excuse my ignorance, that we are the tool of eternity. We are, through our technical capabilities, the ability to spread life so far among so many billions of stars that there will be eternal life, there will be eternal spirituality.
But there is eternal life.
But when this planet sits for 1 billion years at 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, what we know as life will be destroyed.
Anything within this material world will be all destroyed.
Yes.
But there is another nature that is being described. Parastha smatu bhava anya bhakta bhaktya sanatana.
But the spirit is manufactured in the body, is it not, sir?
Yes, spirit is man. But there is a spiritual world also.
Yes.
Where you don't require this material body, you remain in your spiritual world.
But if there's no bodies left, they're all burned up, there's no spiritual development.
Well, no, that is not a fact.
So you need to take the body somewhere.
No, so long you are in the material world, you need to take a material body. But if you are in the original spiritual body, then you remain in the spiritual world.
Well, I believe there is a matrix of creation, a spiritual, technical people call it an electromagnetic world, where I'm sure a lot goes on that we are unaware of, but I believe it's like one product of the fourth kingdom of the automobile. And that has its spiritual world. Automobiles, if you destroyed all the automobiles, there's still blueprints around, there's still lathes, there are still things that can manufacture the automobile. But the trial, the improvement, the development of the automobile has to take place as an automobile. Likewise, I think the spiritual improvement, the improvement
automobile
of life,
automatically, automobile does not develop. When a man, a person, develops the design, that is a question of development. But the automobile as it is, it does not develop. It is matter. When matter is handled by spirit soul, then there is change. Otherwise, there is no change.
Perhaps I can give you a scientific explanation.
Yes.
I'm a scientist. According to science, every cell is changed in 12 years. Every single body cell is changed.
It's continuous, yes.
It's a continuing process,
right.
Very molecular process,
right.
Very genetic process.
Agreed.
All right? And Deepak said, what's answer you now? You're probably high. And I now hang up and look around. It's like you change the old clothes to new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that word to word translation.
Mm-hmm. We're in.
So
we're a continually
changes.
Changing image, right?
The body changes. Now, the concept of God, according to His script, is infinite. With our finite mind, we cannot comprehend
that's
infinite.
Right. That's right.
Because the finite can only comprehend finite portion.
That's
right. Why when I was a child, my concept of God, the infinity, was a certain portion of the infinity.
Right. But
it changes. So long you are comprehending the material part, often infinite,
that's right.
But only comprehending the finite
small
part.
Part. That's correct.
And consequently, when the body changes, all the soul changes, you will never be able to comprehend the material and the transcription of the material to another planet, because there is no way you can comprehend the totality of the God's manifestation in the 18th chapter when the Virat Swarup is given. We cannot comprehend with our mind. And the idea of transporting body or material is still a very small finite portion of the total infinite, which no way you can comprehend.
Well,
this is what provides simple
clarity. I agree. What we are the resulting images of the power of creation. We are the evidence that there is a creative power.
And consequently, since we are only a manifestation of the total
that's
power.
That's what we are, a manifestation, an image of it. Yes.
That's why we cannot. And electric bulbs, when they are turned on and off,
right. The
light is there. It's very hard to say where the electrons are flowing, into which
system. Well, in our case, our electrons are flowing from one place, the sun. And the imagery in your magazine is just beautiful. It shows the imagery of a man on the sun, and what we are, scientifically, as you know, we're images of sun energy. And this is where our electrons come from. And when the sun goes out, we go out. Unless we're to another star where there's another sun.
Bill, could you explain to Srila Prabhupada why you think life is created?
How it is created?
Yeah.
Well, there's
the creator.
There is a creative force. The power of life is light.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Godhead is light. The science is darkness, I believe. That's true. That's very true, in my understanding.
You think that everything comes from light, Srila?
All the religions refer to God as light. Most of the religions, and science agrees. Light is that very fugitive bit of energy that allows life to be possible.
Now
and
unless,
normally, enormously
unless there is fire, where from the light comes?
From the fire and the sun.
Yes, that would be fire. That's the source of light.
That's the source of light, yes.
So as soon as you say light, you must find out the source of light.
That's correct. You must destroy matter in order to create light.
Well, how about water?
You don't destroy any matter, just transmutation.
Oh, excuse me, I don't mean destroy. It's transmuted from matter to energy.
That's the Einstein's equation. Energy equal to mass and the speed of light to the square of that.
That's right.
And we can transmute either way. There's no matter destroyed up here.
That's correct. It's as matter and energy are really the same thing. It's another form.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's the whole principle of atomic
energy. Once you have light, you have the source of life, and then you have to have an enormously creative power to take the light, move it into a form which can become life. It started out as single cells in the ocean, or simple chemicals in the ocean, then single cells, then more complex cells, all with an extraordinarily complicated creative power causing the light to flow through to create a new image, which is life. And it's very similar that it's, as you understand, the television picture is the same electromagnetic energy that we are. We, with our simple brains, can take electromagnetic energy, tune it, transmit it, retune it as a two-dimensional picture. The creative power in life has taken the same electromagnetic energy coming from the sun and has tuned it in the form of living images, three-dimensional images, far, far more complicated than our simple television.
I'll read your book page by page and we'll do the same number of chanting.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be surprised what happens. I'm a hardcore scientist and to me it's a transformation. Absolutely.
Well, I was a hard...
From yoga. I'll read your book and you'll read the transformation. I'm sure you'll get ahead much quicker than me.
I've talked to your people and I think there's pretty much agreement on the fundamental philosophical concept.
There's something magnetic about it, something creative which comes inside. You can't explain.
Yeah, scientist.
Yeah.
You can't explain.
Governor, could you get it?
I already sent someone from Srila Prabhupada. I don't think he's seen.
Exactly.
Oh, they went to the Library of Congress today, Prabhupada. They are here right now.
No, I think you put it better than I did. We do not destroy matter, we transmute it from to energy. That's exactly
correct.
And then
correct. You can say H is equal to Planck's constant, H nu. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And Planck's constant multiplied by the frequency of
light. And it is the... And in fire, you are again transmuting material, chemical energy into light. And when our light source goes out...
And it is surprising. I'm a scientist. I publish papers. Now it is all coming together. It is after a long search, which we are doing it. The body systems are to be coordinated. Endocrine systems and the nervous systems are the two. Now the endocrine systems are coming to the nervous system, and that is coordinated through pranayama and the yoga and chanting. Basically, indirectly, it is straightforward.
Well, there's fundamentally should be no difference between science and religion. Really should not be. And
all scientists, all big scientists are the greatest religious people. I'm at Berkeley. They're all Nobel Prize winners. They always say, all of us science, we cannot create a single leaf or a single flower. We feel so helpless.
You know Calvin?
Sure.
Very good.
I was a professor at UCLA.
Yeah, very good. Well, he got his Nobel laureate in explaining how the chemistry of light turns into life. And so I passed my manuscript by him to make sure that he didn't run me out of town. So he agreed. He said it was rather novel, but I believe there's a fundamental truth that runs through the whole system. And I'm sure I've read some of your comments in the magazines, and I think you are fundamentally in agreement with what you said.
Perhaps you can make commentary on this shloka. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami yasyam jagrati bhutani tanisha pasyatamane.
The material civilization is the jagriti for the materialistic person. But those who are spiritually enlightened, they think that this person is sleeping. They got the opportunity of understanding God. And without understanding God, they're simply busy with the material body and its comfort and working hard day and night and missing the point. And whereas the materialistic person, they see these Krishna conscious people, Hare Krishna people, they are wasting their time by chanting Hare Krishna, they are doing nothing. Just the opposite view. These people are seeing the materialistic person, they are sleeping, not enlightened to the spiritual life, and this materialistic person, they are seeing that these people, under some fictitious idea, they are spoiling their life without enjoying the material facilities. That's the opposite.
Well, I try to resolve those two views. I believe that materialism has a divine purpose.
Everything has got divine purpose.
Yes.
But if you do not understand the divine purpose, then you remain animal.
That's right.
Everything has got divine purpose.
Yes.
Yes, this human form of life is given to us by laws of nature to understand what is God, what we are, what is our relationship with God, what is this material world, why you have come here. These things we are to know in this human form of life, and if we like, we can know also. But instead of knowing this different phases of life, if we simply take care of this body like the animals, then we miss the opportunity. The animal is concerned to take the care of the body. If we simply remain taking care of this body, then we are animal. Swayeva Gokha. Jashatu buddhi kunapeti dhatuke sadet kalatra visu bhavumai jadi jati sabuddhi chalile nakari janesu avityesu swayeva Gokha.
Sir, may I read you back to my version of materialism without purpose? May I read you materialism without purpose?
Without purpose.
That mankind's insatiable appetite for material things stems from instinctive desire to pursue technology, which in turn drives civilization to a frenzy of activity. However, without a cause or a purpose, or spirituality, as you say, the rush and hurry in uncertain directions to uncertain places creates an excess of technological gimmickry. Perhaps this continuing quest for more material goods would be less anxious if the cause of this obsession in mankind were universally recognized. If we saw the ultimate use of technology as an extension of nature with a purpose for the whole life system, perhaps a new lifestyle would evolve. We would see a creative, natural, instinctive, satisfying outlet for our energies, and we might all collectively obtain more peace of mind. The waste of technological gimmickry would then disappear. Hard reality, however, will extinguish our relentless desire for material things if we do not correct the situation ourselves. We will simply run out of resources and power if our technological explosion continues, as blind as a raging torrent of water, flowing in any direction gravity takes it.
Yes,
and I
we
believe
are
this
carried away by the laws of nature. However, you may improve your technological science, you are under the laws of materialism that you cannot change. But if you revive your spiritual life, then you can change. Otherwise it is not possible. If you keep yourself under the laws of material nature, then you have to be carried away by the laws of material nature, however expert you may be in technological understanding.